Welcome to Conscious Communication, the podcast that can help you improve your company's culture and better your team's communication, helping you build more significant relationships. Now here's your host, Philip Bogolub.
I have the privilege and honor of talking with Tanya Davis. She's a mindset career coach, helping women entrepreneurs and women in general transitioning from their 9-to-5 jobs. That's a big job. It's a lot of stuff. She has a pursuit of happiness. I'm going to plaster that on my window because I just love that. I love stuff like that. Little phrases that start your day. Pursuit of happiness program she's created. Achieving happiness and creating positivity throughout the world. So we're going to talk about a lot of stuff here because it's just not what it is, what you hear me saying. There's a lot more to this than just the stuff I introduced you for. So thank you very much for being on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I'm really honored.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's wonderful to talk to you. And the first question I'm going to ask you is, you didn't wake up in the morning and all this stuff coming to you. You had some serendipities, some accidences, as coincidences, some spiritual stuff that happened to you going, I'm going down this road, but the spirit's pushing me into this direction. So what the heck? And then you follow that. And that's where you came. I'm sure there's a lot of stories, but what comes to mind where it led you to where you are now?
Oh, buddy. There were several milestones that actually come to mind. Two in particular, but it comes to mind because, and when I say milestones, I mean, there were years apart. You know, I know some people think like, oh, you go from this and this and this instant. It was like, no, I had a lot of undoing to do. I had a lot of healing to do. I had a lot of things about myself that I didn't even want to admit was a part of me that I actually had to acknowledge and change. I had behavioral habits that I needed to change. And, you know, people think things are so easy. So this is my first experience dealing with the power of the mind. I was living in San Francisco and, you know, trying to do this, you know, being an independent artist thing like that. And it didn't work out too well. I ended up being homeless.
Wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
but you gave it your all.
I gave it my all. 4 months and 12 hours, I was homeless in San Francisco. And when I tell you it was a challenge, I was still trying to go to school because I was at Heald College at the time. I was still, you know, trying to do teaching gigs, you know, just to get a little money coming in. I was sleeping at bus stops. I was like trying to like just sleep on the floor and couches of like students, and like crackheads became my friend. Like, you know, like it was a different world to be in. And when you're a female who does not have children, it is another different world to be in, which people do not talk about, you know.
It's not a safe world, as they would say,
it's
correct?
It's not a safe world, you know. If I had children, I would have been a lot more safe. Things would have been accommodated to me more easily.
Right.
But because I didn't, I was fleeing to domestic violence shelters. And so those didn't even have beds. Like, we're literally, like, you're sitting up in a chair all night.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I was living like this day in and day out, still trying to keep up, you know, what I'm doing, still trying to be in the art, you know, artistic dance world. And one day I just woke up, opened my eyes, and I was like, I'm going to get breakfast. That was the only thing I know, right? That look, right? That look right there.
Oh,
it came to me. I was just like, I'm going to get breakfast, because breakfast, for one, is one of my favorite meals of the day. I feel so comforted with breakfast, and I feel just this, I feel happy, you know? And I just opened my eyes and I was like, I just started smiling and I'm like, I'm going to get breakfast. Oh. So I head over to this diner. I kind of became known at this diner, you know, because they had like cheap breakfast food. And it was easy for me to get like my eggs and home potatoes, you know, like in just a black coffee, you know, even with my breakfast, I keep it simple, but I enjoy it so much.
Right.
And I'm sitting there, I'm eating. Next thing I know, I get this call from a film director out there in San Francisco. His name is Kevin Epps. He can tell you this story to this day. Okay. I even joke and call him my disciple because he witnessed what happened to me. Like, he witnessed this miracle. And he's like, hey, I'm about to shoot this music video in Oakland. And I know, you know, you said that you were interested in learning more about, you know, the film industry. You know, where are you? You want to come along? So I tell him where I am. And he gets silent for a second. And then he goes, I'm right next to you. I'm on the side of the building parked. Right.
And we're talking coincidence, like, serendipity, accident, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly. So I'm like, okay. So I come out of the diner. I literally go around the corner. There he is, parked with his Lexus. And he was like, whoa. And I was just like, hey, you know, I'm happy. Got my breakfast in me. And we're heading off. We're going across the bridge, heading over to Oakland. And he's shooting this music video. I'm excited. I'm having fun. I'm enjoying myself. I'm not thinking about any of my worries or my problems that I normally would have been doing that day. And then, you know, the shoot.
I was going to say, if you didn't wake up and go to breakfast, that was the starting of the little God wink for you. So continue on. I love the story.
Exactly. I love it. God wink. Yes. So the music shoot ends and he's like, oh, where can I take you? It's not really much where he can take me, but I had agreed to do a fundraiser at the Beat Dance Studio in Berkeley. It's a very historical studio. Gregory Hines used to tap there when there weren't many, you know, blacks who were allowed in different studios, you know, so that's where he would go to practice and do his rehearsals.
Wait, hang on a minute. You know, I'll interrupt you for an audience who doesn't know Gregory Hines. He's a good actor, too. He was in that movie with Billy Crystal. Can't remember the name of the movie. Anyway, super amazing, talented dancer and singer and just everything. Look him up and you'll find stuff. I'm sorry, continue on.
Yes. Oh, no.
Way too young.
Yes. Amazing, right? And so I'm like, okay, you know, so it's just north of Oakland, you know, if you're not familiar with the Bay Area, and it's on the east side of the Bay. So he was like, oh, I'll just drop you up there. So he drops me off at this fundraiser. I'm helping out. And there's this live salsa band. And we wanted to get everybody up and moving. You know, we got the salsa band. We wanted to get people dancing. So I'm looking around and I'm like, okay. And I see this older couple and I'm like, oh, I'm going to get this older couple to get up and dance. You know, I thought they looked cute, you know. So I was like, okay, let me go over there. And the woman lifts up her skirt. Giant scar on her knee. She just had knee surgery, so she wasn't able to dance. But she was like, but you can dance with him. So I'm like, okay. So I start dancing with him. And he goes, oh, you're a pretty good dancer. Where are you from? So I tell him, you know, I'm from Florida. And I tell him Daytona Beach. And that's when he lets me know that he's from Eatonville. And if you don't know exactly, nobody knows about Eatonville, even if you were born and raised in Florida, unless you have actual family there or you live there. There's no other way. That's how tiny this town is.
Never heard of it. Okay.
Exactly. But I've heard of it because I have family there.
Okay.
So when he said Eatonville, I was like, oh, I was like, my aunt Vinell. And as soon as I said her name, he stopped dancing. His eyes got so big. Okay. Like, just like this. And he was like, I'm your cousin.
Oh, okay. This is the same day.
This is all in the same day. Okay. So I find out, like, and, you know, I verify that this, like, he is my cousin on my mom's side. Had no idea. And Kevin ends up, you know, advocating and letting him know what was going on with me as, like, I was cleaning up. And he was like, oh, I got a place for her. Come to find out, he was the super of this building. And he had a 2-bedroom apartment that was ready. And that same night, I was in a 2-bedroom apartment rent free. That same, like, 12 hours. Like,
yeah.
And, like, I was like,
from breakfast to homeless to breakfast to a place to live with a relative that you can trust.
That I can trust.
That you're not afraid of going to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, he was in another apartment. I was in that whole apartment by myself.
You're like, I don't care if there's a bed, not a bed. Doesn't matter. I'm by myself.
Doesn't matter. You know? And it was that happened just like God's wink, in a blink of an eye. Like, that happened. And it all started because of how I started my day.
Yes.
Like that intention, that feeling. It was about the feeling that I started my day with. And not only that I started my day with, I kept up that feeling throughout the day. I kept up that joy.
It takes work.
Excitement. And it does take work. It is not something that, you know, you just, it's like, oh, let me set this, let me do these three affirmations in the morning.
No.
And continue. It don't work like it. Oh my goodness, I get so upset with people who are just like, oh, all you have to do is these three affirmations for 7 days. And I'm just like,
and just sit back and watch TV. Just watch TV. So I gotta tell it directly to my conscious community audience. This is a perfect example of Ajahnoi, your soul knowledge, knowledge of your soul. Perfect example of universal mind, spirits, and angels. Serendipities, coincidence, and accidents. And when you're in the conscious or subconscious, conscious is the informational, and the subconscious is the transformational. This is the stuff that my audience knows, that I've been kind of talking with you before the mic and now when we're on mic, that once you get past something, and it can be very uncomfortable because you don't have a clue. You listen to a spirit or an angel, something came to you and you did it. And the simple one was, I'm going to go to breakfast. You had no idea, but the feeling came over you because the mind, then it gave you a physical feeling. Then you were enjoying that physical feeling by enjoying that. Then the phone rings. Then it's Epps on the phone and he's parked next to you. Then you go to this thing and you keep going. And suddenly you have this cousin and it's like all these things. But once that goes, because you're right, I've had many seminars and students now that say, well, that's all I do is this. I'm like, no. This takes work. You have to constantly, I pray and meditate all the time. I'm constantly thanking God for things or whatever you want to call the universal mind, whatever it is. Well, you're talking off mic. Whatever it is called is, how did you say it? There is no real name. There is no name.
I just say it's a breath.
Yes. You know? I love that. I'm using that. It is the breath because it is. It's your breath. It's your heart. It's your blinking of your eyes. It's that moment in time. And every day, you know, I'm always thanking God. I wake up in the morning, I'm like, I feel my pulse. I'm like, yeah, I think I'm alive. I don't know what it feels like being dead. Open my eyes, go, thank you for the light. Thank you for the toothbrush. Thank you for the water. Thank you for the tree. Go outside. Why did God put that squirrel in front of me? Why don't I look? And it's work. It's school of the mind, university of the mind. It constantly goes on. You have to keep doing it over and over and over. So from there, where you ended your story, at least that day, I love that story. And what was wonderful about it more than anything, you did it so clearly to put such a cool image in my, I had a video going every step of the way. I could picture you going, I picture you a diner. You know, the diners in New York, they're like mobile homes. They look like, you know, those little diner.
Yeah.
That's what I'm picturing. And you're going around there and it's this diner. It's a silver car or something. And you see his car, the Lexus. One of the things that, because I used to be an engineer in the medical field, completely different where I'm at now. And I used to do a lot of, my main job was technical support. And I had to travel all over the world supporting a device called an X-ray tube. Well, I had to help people creating an image in their mind. And you had to get that image from them. And you had to share that energy with this. So when you get, when you described it, it's just wonderful. Absolutely. You should do this for a job. So when you got to that point, what was the next step? You woke up the next day and?
Honestly, I was still overcoming everything I had went through the past 4 months. I was just like, and even, you know, my cousin, he was like, I just need you to be comfortable. Like, I need you to get like back to a space where, you know, you're comfortable. And he actually was the one who introduced me to waking up in the morning before the sunrise to do a silent meditation and to get in tune with that. And because I was still like, you know, even though I experienced it that day, my ego mind was still fighting. You know, like it was still trying to figure out, well, what am I going to do about it? Like it went right back into it.
Sure.
And I'm just like, you know, because that's what it does.
Right. You can't stop it. You're not supposed to stop it. Well, I always tell people, I say in my, and all this stuff I'm doing is like, I tell people you're comfortable being uncomfortable in something you're familiar with, a bad job, bad relationship.
Yeah.
And you just, I'm not leaving that. That's too uncomfortable. So how did you teach yourself, and that's what you have to do, not how long it takes, doesn't matter how long it takes. How did, what did you do to start realizing to recreate that energy that you had before just going to breakfast?
That took a minute, not going to lie. Okay. And when I say a minute, it took years later to really understand, because I was undoing a lot of money traumas. I was undoing a lot of 9-to-5 mentality. I was undoing that as well. I was undoing this fact about, you know, a lot of it had to do with wealth. Now that I think about it, you know, and feeling secure, feeling stable. So I was still undoing all these things. And mind you, this happened like about like 10 years ago, right? So the what we have now, it wasn't that easy. You know, it wasn't that easy just to get on alive and just start making money. You know, so
you weren't like this at the, where you are now. It didn't. You're right. You said at the beginning, I don't know if you did it off or on camera, on video, on audio. Bleh. People always think that it happens overnight. There is no such thing.
It's not. For me, I needed to experience that miracle. I needed to experience the miracle. You know, that's really what that was. But there was still things that I needed to release in order to be able to experience miracles more that mm-hmm. I had to go through. It wasn't a matter, like, I could no longer read books. It's like I had to experience life. And that's what ended up happening. You know, I started my journey in trying to decide what I want to do, how I want to do things, because I found myself going back into a slump. I went back into like working into like a studio, you know, to start making money. And I wasn't happy.
Right.
You know, and when I really thought about it, I was like, wow, I have been really pursuing truth this whole time. Because my cousin, he's a Muslim. So for me, I grew up Christian. I denounced Christianity, you know, and then I started really like when I transferred over, like this is like before this happened, I majored in dance and philosophy. I was really big on finding the truth, you know, and all these different beliefs I feel have a part of the truth, but they have all these other things mixed in with it that cloud it. And so I was like, you know, what did they do in the beginning? I was like, what did they do in the beginning before you're telling me to do this chant? How do you know that this is this, like, how was this revealed to you? And then I started thinking about the greats that we, you know, kind of idolize, even though we really shouldn't. When you think about Jesus, Buddha, and Muhammad, right? The three majors. Jesus wasn't a Christian. Buddha wasn't a Buddhist. Muhammad wasn't a Muslim, but they all did one thing. They all went off somewhere in silence and received the information. And I was like, that's the key. I was like, that is the key. It's silence.
Yeah.
And that's what we don't want to do, though.
Well, we're in a world of noise. I know we've always been in a world of noise. Because I some people go, well, what do you think about all the noise? You know, it's more than ever. I go, nah, it's just amplified because now it's just available. I call it the idiot box and the idiot box that you plug in the wall. And it's just a conscious mind. It's noise. You know, you got to think the way I think. You got to think the way I say. And you can find somebody to agree or disagree. It's a waste of time. There are some good things, but it's a very small percentage. And you need the silence. You hit it right on the nose. Because you need to, whether you call it prayer, whether you call it meditate, you need the silence. It's interesting because in the past, I don't know, about 4 weeks, I think, I'm not timing it, but it seems like that. I go into meditation all the time. And I have a three-pronged thing I do with my hands. I go, thank you for the angels in the wind, the spirits in the clouds, the blue sky of God. And then I bow. And I say a prayer to God. I say, Lord, notice everything around me. And when I'm closing my eyes, if I'm standing there, I start drifting off. It's part of me where I'm not going to sleep, but I realize, wait a minute, have I stopped breathing? Am I breathing? And I'm like, it's amazing. So when you do these things, the meditations and the prayers and all the different, whatever you're doing, we'll call it just meditation, just to keep it simplified. When you're doing these things, how long did it take you, or you might not have an exact number, but how long did it take you to finally get to the point of going, you know what, this noise is not supposed to go away? I've talked to a yogi before. He said, please tell your audience, don't worry about getting to those unmanageable sitting positions that no one could get into. And don't worry about trying to get, you can't stop the noise, you'll get a big headache. So how long did that take you? And then when you got there, how did you notice to be able to get into it more easily? Because you got, you're retraining your mind.
Personally, for me, which is crazy because part of this journey of getting there was I went into Kundalini yoga. And Kundalini yoga is like known as the yoga of awareness.
Oh, okay.
And I ended up getting out of that because one of the chants, it included a yogi's name. And I'm like, why am I invoking somebody else's name? I was like, no, I will not do that. Like, that was one of the things I did vow to myself is that I will not invoke a name unless it's revealed to me. I'm like, if it can be revealed through silence, then if there's a name, it should be revealed to me because I have direct access to that. So I started thinking on those levels. And so I'm like, okay, so when I go into silence, I started thinking about even the things that I've, you know, grown up with in Christianity, right? The temptations of Jesus, right? But this was all coming up in his mind. Like all these things that he was dealing with was like temptations of his mind. I'm like, oh, it's our thoughts. I was like, okay, so it's our thoughts. I was like, all right, so let me get quiet here. And it's like, all right. And then I would have sometimes, and it would vary, you know, depending on what's happening. Sometimes it would be a reoccurring thought. So then it's like, okay, this thought is reoccurring and it doesn't make me feel good. So right after, I would notebook and pen. My friend, notebook and pen. When they talk about written word, it is so powerful to write and to journal because I would start writing down the reoccurring thought, how this reoccurring thought made me feel, and where did this start coming from? It's like, wait, when did I actually start feeling this way? And I started backtracking stuff to like when I was like 11 and 10. Like it just started backtracking where I was like, whoa, this is over 2 decades worth, you know, of me having this belief,
yeah.
You know, like I'm carrying it with me. I'm like, I'm carrying this, this bad karma, you know, cause you know, you got
sitting there in the back controlling you and you don't, but you're not listening. You don't even know it's there.
You don't even know it's there because you're not listening, but now I'm listening and now I know it's there. And it's like, okay, so you know what? Now that I know this is there, that's when I started creating a different reality and I started writing it down differently on paper. And I was just like, you know what? I feel da-da-da-da-da, you know, and I would just start talking about how I feel and, you know, like how I wanted to feel. And as I'm writing, I'm getting excited and I'm getting joyful and I'm just like basking in this feeling. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, and whenever a thought comes up that's related, you know, to what I don't want to feel, you know, I remind myself of what I wrote down. I would even look at it. I would even rewrite it. And that's how I started doing my affirmation. So, you know, I know people do like the 3, 6, 9 and 5, 5. And it's like, no, it's like when the thought comes, do it. Because one, you're tracking your reoccurring thoughts. You know, it's not just like a static number. It's like, whoa, this is how many times this thought is coming up for me, you know? So it gets very personal, you know? And it gets to the point where you don't even need to write it. You just start speaking it out loud. Like it just starts coming to you like that. And then it gets to the point where you don't even think about it anymore.
Right.
But then the things start to come up because there's always more than one.
You crash one ceiling, there's another. You crash another. Yeah, I was just telling a friend of mine that. I said, this is ridiculous because I'm like, okay, now I got it. And I'm used to it now. I'm like, I don't expect it, but I'm like, okay, I'm good right now. All right. And then like this morning, I got up at like 4 a.m. and something was going on. I'm like, why am I up? What's going on? I used to get aggravated. I used to get all pissed off, irritated. Used to go, and then I'd wake up my wife. You know, I want to get her involved and suck her into the negative energy. So you don't want to suck anybody's negative. You don't want to include other people and you don't talk about it. You don't talk. If you don't want it, don't talk about it. You'll manifest it if you talk about it. You know, my neck hurts. Oh, you know, my neck hurts because of this. Well, my toe hurts. And my mom used to say it's a Yiddish saying called kvetching. And what it meant was it's a Yiddish word meaning stop complaining. So my mom go, you got nothing good to say? Stop kvetching. Don't say anything. So if you share the negativity, you think that in your mind, we've been trained to, you know, Tanya, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, that's really a shame. Yeah, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you're really like thinking, I don't want to hear that. I don't care. It's I can't help you. But you're complaining about it. And then you go find somebody else to complain. And that's all it becomes is more real in your life. And I love how you said, not to denounce, if religion works for you, or whatever religion or belief system works for you, this is the things we're talking about that work for us. I agree with what you're saying from my philosophy. God speaks to me through silence. He speaks to me through, it's not even a he, it's an it. It's a breath. It's a breath. The breath speaks to me through silence and sleep. And that's when I get my inspiration. And that's why I really get into silence, meditation, and sleep. Before I sleep, I silence and meditation, silence and meditation. Because I want to get something positive when I sleep. I'm not watching Night of the Living Dead or some scary movie or something negative, whatever it is. I want to go to bed in a productive way. And then I wake up in the morning and be positive. Otherwise, you're always going to wake up tired. You're always going to feel like you're exhausted. So the last thing I want to go to sleep in my mind in is something negative. I want to ask you something on this, on the stuff you were talking about and all the thoughts that are going on. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. We live in unforgiveness. And it's the most horrible thing to live in because it's really hard to forgive. It's far hard to forgive someone, whether they're here or alive, but it's really hard to forgive yourself. So how do you kind of work that out? You said you were going through these different things, and I think you might mention something about forgiveness. Well, how do you feel? How do you approach that in your philosophy of unforgiveness and forgiveness for yourself?
That's a good question. Because it definitely, for me, I had to go through the different levels of what I was feeling because a lot of it came from shame or embarrassment. So I had to actually acknowledge those feelings that they were there. And it was like, you know what? And that's when I had to basically, so you have to rewrite your story from a different perspective. And that is how you forgive yourself. Because nice. Back then it was like, okay, I understand that. And it's like, you know, but back then I was such and such years old and I was still trying to find myself. And you know what? It's okay. Because that allowed you to learn from this experience. And now, you know, moving forward, this is what you need to do. And it's okay because you needed to learn it that way because you cannot be reading books and understanding. You have to experience things because this is what your soul needs. So you literally have to rewrite the story from a different perception. Otherwise, you'll never forgive yourself. And I have to do that with people. Like, you know, I would have to like, I'd be like a letter to my dad, right? And I would just start writing things out. And then it's like, you know what? How can you be upset with somebody for being who they are? They are who they are. How can you be upset with them for being who they are?
That's very powerful. I mean, say that again.
How can you be upset with someone for being who they are?
That's very powerful. That's
forgiveness. What helps me forgive others. Yeah.
But that's forgiveness. And that's not easy because we're trained to be angry about the people who have done us wrong, good or done us right. It doesn't matter. It's us, and you know, trying to figure it out and going, why somebody did this? Why? You don't know. You don't know their inner thoughts. You don't know where they got their stuff from. And yeah, so go ahead.
And that comes back to that energy of blame, right? You know, because then now we're no longer taking accountability. We're trying to basically say that we're not a part of the equation, but it's like math doesn't lie, you know, like it's like, dude, if you're a part of the equation and this came out of the answer, that means you're a part of what took place, you know? So putting blame is trying to say, oh, I'm not a, but actually you are, you know? And that's when it was like, so one of the things I noticed was a family karma. And what I mean by that is like traits that were passed down, and blame was one of them. It was something that I noticed my dad did constantly. He constantly blamed his mom for different things that he went through. And I was like, you know what? How do I put the blame when it comes to my own life? How do I do that in my relationships? Who am I blaming for where I am right now? And that's how you start doing, that's how you start looking at things. Because for me, I was like, wow, I had to even notice his patterns. When I noticed his patterns, I was like, wait a minute. he's the common denominator in all these different types of situations that are unfolding in his life.
Right.
And now I'm a part of this equation with all the same similar outcomes, but you're the common denominator. And I was like, you know what? This isn't my bad karma. This isn't for me to take on. This is actually for you to overcome and learn. And I've taken on that energy.
Right.
And I was like, no, I'm not taking on this energy anymore. And that's what ends up happening. It ends up getting passed down.
Yes.
And you end up developing these behaviors.
Yes.
And then at some point, you got to say, no.
Enough.
This is enough. This is actually, no, this is something you need to start healing from. Like, no, it's like, no, this is my path. Like, this is like, how did I take on this karma, like this energy, like from you? And that's what ends up happening, you know, from a small child, like since you popped out of the womb, you know, like you've been told what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. And then as we get older, we start to go against what we've been taught. And once you start going against, you're being told that you're wrong. Like I've had family tell me that I'm demon possessed because I'm no longer a Christian. You know, like I've had people say like in my family, oh, something's mentally wrong with her because I no longer agree with their traditions. But these traditions are stifling.
But my question to people with that is, if you're supposed to be tolerant, does that's what, you know, Jesus and Buddha and Atman, all these different things, and it's fine. They all is understanding. And to me, it's, I love learning different faiths, religions, understanding of how different worlds, there's hundreds and hundreds of countries we've never heard of, and they all live in different ways. There's some cultures that actually think that, you know, death, the demon, the da-da-da-da, it's horrible. There's other cultures that say death is a beautiful thing. It's the next part of life. So I love the idea of what you did a great explanation of forgiveness and unforgiveness, because you come to the heart of the philosophy of everything is you need to give up the idea that just because somebody did something to you, they were doing that. They don't even know they're doing it. And then they got it from somebody else who got it from somebody else who got it from. The only thing you carry forward is your genes. You might look like your mom. You might look like your dad or your sister, your brother. That's fine. But this in the mind, no. But it's a hard lesson to learn, because we take a cloak of anger, blame, self-righteousness, and ego and put it on ourselves like a cape. And we wear it through our entire life. And we're Superman, but in the negative world. And we're living in Krypton. You know, I'm a dork. Kryptonite was the one that, if you remember, Kryptonite was the one that slowed him down.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's what like killed him pretty
that's
much,
exactly.
Destroying his power.
Well, that's what we live with, right? We live with that every day. And then we go outside of the world, whether it's the unsocial media or whatever we're listening to or whatever we're reading, it is a million negative things. Ah, see, I was right. So you wallow in it, pity, angry, and you get really mad all the time. Well, when you stay in that hyper level of, as we call it, stress, because stress doesn't fall out of the sky. It's just a word we define as how we describe what we feel like. And when we feel those stressors in our mind, what happens? It goes to our body. And then what happens to our body? We get arthritis. We get eyesight problems. We get high blood pressure. I can go on and on and on and on. Because those negative thoughts then refer to negative eating, which is the negative thoughts of the negative eating. And then the negative eating refers to, I don't feel so good. And then the negative, it just is a constant thing that goes. But to break that cycle, it takes practice, 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 practice. I mean, when you went to school and you were going to college and all these other things, you kept practicing until you got that piece of paper. But then you get out to the world thinking, well, I don't need anything. I'll just go on automatic. Bad idea. Because you're just going to go round and round like a dog chasing the tail. You'll catch the tail, be exhausted, and start the process all over again. I want to go, we already hit a bunch of, I haven't even got any questions. Because we were talking about spirit, soul, and purpose. We haven't talked about purpose yet. Spirit and soul we have. But going through this, you know, with the soul knowledge and all this stuff, whatever you want to call it, you get to find, through what I do, and I believe what you're doing, to find your purpose. When you found your purpose and you were doing through, you know, your meditations and all this other stuff, when you followed your purpose, that must have been kind of lack of better description, disorienting, because it was something you were uncomfortable with. You didn't have a pre-existing folder on it. So how did you manage to put yourself out there to get to where you are now?
I asked for a sign from the universe, to be honest with you. I was, you know, I knew that I wanted to empower women. I knew I wanted to support women. I knew I wanted to get this message out. And I knew I wanted to do it by getting them in tune with their power within. You know, it's like, dude, just go within. Like, it's all within. Like,
inner knowing.
You don't need anything else outside of yourself. Like, you don't need those crystals, baby. Like, you are the crystal. You are the field, you know? And I knew I wanted to. I didn't really know how to go about it, you know? And I started thinking about, you know, the entrepreneurship route. And for me, you know, just me pursuing like my own LLC, I always say an entrepreneur is a self-discovery journey. You are going on a journey of self-discovery because everything about you manifests in your business somehow, and somehow in things that you need to change, and characters about yourself that you need to deal with. And if you don't deal with it, guess what? It's going to affect your business. So you learn everything about yourself being an entrepreneur because, you know, like you said, people want this instant gratification, but Apple wasn't built in a day.
No.
This took years.
They made no money.
You know? And that made no money.
See, you remember, you mentioned that. Do you remember, like, I used to watch the Business Channel a long time. I don't watch any of that stuff anymore, but I was like, they're broke again? They're going, I mean, how many times did they say Apple was going to be sold? Apple's going out of business. Apple's going to be sold. 1,000 times.
Yeah.
And this is not the only business. I mean, we always focus on the one
right,
we know.
Right. Right. Exactly. But this happens all the time, right?
Absolutely.
All the time it's happening. And for me, I was getting discouraged, you know, and I was just like, I was literally writing and I was like, please help me with my certainty in knowing that this is the right path for me by showing me a sign. I was like, show me a sign by letting me get a discovery call booking. Thank you, universe. Right. And I left it like that. I was out in the park just looking at over the water. I was actually looking at the Jersey line, and I'm looking at the bridge, and I looked down. It wasn't even 5 minutes later, and I had my first discovery call booking. And I was like, oh, okay. So this is it. And when I tell you, I don't know, it's something about 12 hours, okay, with me in the universe, okay?
That number. I understand that.
Less than 12 hours, I had 102 discovery call bookings. 102. A video I did on TikTok ended up going viral. And I ended up with 102 bookings. And I was just like, well, you asked for a sign. And the universe was like, okay. At least she's finally saying she needs help with her faith. At least she's finally acknowledging, you know, like she needs a little help in her faith. And she's asking me, you know, I'm not like, you know, trying to like, because what I normally would do is I would run to family. You know, I would run to family. And that's also another thing, too. I don't know if I mentioned noticing your behavioral traits.
Yes.
You know,
when it gets uncomfortable, what do?
When it gets uncomfortable, because it's like, oh, like for me, lounging around in bed. For me, not taking care of like my skincare or right. like washing my hair, like right. even just keeping up, I'm like, that's a sign.
Well, I
like,
can't say anything
something's
about washing
going
hair.
On. You know,
but I wash my scalp.
Behavioral sign. Yeah, you still got to keep your scalp clean, man. Like that's the skin is an important organ in
it
the
is.
Body.
It is. Very
it's
true.
Our first point of defense. You know,
yes.
like.
Yes.
Got to take care of it. And
yes.
Oh man, your crown is exposed now that I'm thinking about it.
I'm not spending $200,000 or $300,000 on this head. And I, because when I started losing my hair, oh, I don't remember my 40s or whatever it was. I went to look for, I know this is going off topic, but I went to look for hair replacement. And I thought it was, you know, you put it in, this starts growing.
No.
If they had a scientific procedure that cost $25,000 or $50,000 that you permanently got hair back and it grew for the rest of it, it dies. That's the thing they don't talk about. the hair follicles that they put are from like the sides of your head. I mean, they might have changed it a little bit, but it eventually dies because these hair follicles don't grow anymore. So you have to keep taking them over and over, unless you get the implants, unless you get the permanent implants, and that costs hundreds of thousands of dollars, and you still got to upkeep on it. I'm like, no, I'd rather have that cash in my pocket. I'd rather donate the money to something that would make a difference. And I'm not doubting that. If you want that, it's perfectly fine. But for me, I'm thinking, how much does this cost? And this is years ago. They said, yeah, I could spend about $30,000, $40,000 a year. I'm like, I'm sorry, what did you just say? That's like a salary, for God's sake. And I'm like, no. And you're right. You have to take care of your skin. You have to take it. But that starts with the mind. That starts with what you're going on in your mind.
Yeah. And that's, and you know, recognizing like, oh, wow, like I haven't like produced, like, let's say like you're, you know, you're on a cadence, you know, with like right. what you're doing with your business. And you're like, oh my gosh, I've fallen behind on schedule. And not only have you fallen behind on schedule, you're eating differently. You know, you've noticed that your sleeping habits are different. Like these are all behavioral signs, which is basically, it's a manifestation of what's happening here. You know, your behavior. Yeah. Your behavior is what is going on here in your mind. So it's like, OK, so even if, you know, even if you're struggling like mentally, you can at least start by saying, you know what? I'm going to go shopping for some healthy fruit. And you can start there. You can start at least changing the behavior. Yeah, at least start changing the behavior. So then now your mind is like, oh, we're back in a good space now.
Yes.
You know, because I think sometimes people want to focus so much on getting rid of the thoughts, but sometimes you get so far in that you might need to look at it a little differently. You might have to change this in order to change that.
Right.
So, you know, like you said, there's more than one way, you
yes.
know?
Yes.
And I think sometimes we get caught up in that. And for me, I was getting caught up in, for me personally, it was this idea of not being able to create my own wealth. Not being able to, because I realized that I put my trust and my faith in other companies to get my money, you know, like, because that's the reality of it. You know, I trust that in 2 weeks, that money's going to be in my account. I don't even think about it, right? Because I did the work. But what about if I just did the work for myself and I trusted that that money was just going to hit my account? Like, what happens if I did that? You know, and it's a scary thought. It's very uncomfortable.
And of course, it happened in one day.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I mean, you still got those bookings, and but you still had bills, and you still had, you know, the, you know, or fancy term ROI, return on investment. And one of the things I wanted to mention about what we were talking about, what you were talking about actually, was you have to do an action. When you pray and you meditate, and one of the procedures I have, I say, okay, I got to ask for God. I need help. I'm going to pray. And what I do is say, I need some help. I'm not doing this good. I'm doing really bad, bad relationship, bad job. Everybody can relate that at some point in their life. And then I go watch television, or I go watch something on my phone, or I go play music, or I go with my buddies for some beers. I go watch a movie. You come back home, it's still there. And I go, well, I'll do it tomorrow. And then this turns out to be 10 years later, and you're still in that same place. And you get so far down the rabbit hole, you don't even see the light. So it has to do with taking action. And that's a very difficult thing, because we're going back to being uncomfortable again. You're taking an action into something you are not familiar with. And I'm assuming this on both of us. Tanya and I are not saying not to read books. You read books, read inspirational stuff, but don't take it for that's going to fit what you're doing in your reality. Take the bits and pieces that she's saying. Take some pieces of different religions and different faiths and different philosophies. And when it says some, those words literally come out at you, mark it down. Mark it down. One of the best things you said is write it down, because it gets lost in all the noise. Write, I always say a pencil and paper, because I can't spell and I can hardly read my handwriting. But mark it down. And I think that's really important to, you know, somebody said, well, I want to make lots of money. I said, well, define lots of. What's lots of? And what are you going to do with the money? I don't know. I never thought about it. Are you going to donate some of your money? Are you going to donate some of your time? Are you going to give back? And not necessarily with money, but with time, with helping people, whatever it is. I mean, what is it about it that you think that money's there to make you comfortable, to make you have the things that you know, that we would like, you know, a warm bed, food, some eggs and potatoes, and things like that. And once you're comfortable, you get more relaxed. Once you're more relaxed and you go into meditation and prayer, you suddenly get realizations. Once you get realizations, then you go, oh, then I got to take my physical being and actually do it. I have to do an action. You know, you went out there and suddenly you did that. That thing went viral. You got all these discovery calls, but you had to make an action. It might not be a foot comfortable. You might going, why is that image in my head saying I need to go to the park? Or why do I need to walk over there? Why do I need to go to breakfast? And if you, unless you're, you know, I mean, you're not going in the middle of traffic, get hit by a car, your mind will protect you. But if it's something that's out of the ordinary and makes you feel a little uncomfortable, do it. See where it leads you. As long as you're not hurting small babies and animals, who cares? As long as you're making a difference, you're empowering people, however that works for you, just do it. Because if you did, she didn't go to breakfast, we wouldn't be sitting talking to each other right now. Who knows what your life would be like?
Yeah, I actually think about that a lot. I'm like, wow. I'm like, if you would have sat there and wallowed and would have, like, if my first instinct would have been to just get up and be like, where am I going to sleep next? Because that's usually what it went to. And that's usually what happens with people. They wake up and they're like, what do I have to do? Or they wake up and they immediately check their phone, you know? And it's like, you have to, like, said it with that intention, you know. And then once you said it with the intention, so what I've been doing, I've been saying this lately, I say that I'm co-creating with God. I was like, okay, God, let's co-create my business, like, together, like, you know, and like different ideas will start to come, you know, as like I'm working. Like, I even had a PR team contact me, like, out of the blue from my TikTok, because they saw my TikTok. And in a couple of weeks, I'm going to have my first TV, like, appearance, like, you know, for a station in Syracuse. Like, and it's crazy because one of the things that I visualized was being a guest on podcasts and having TV appearances. Like, these are things that I wrote down, but also, like, what she said about the money, you know, everybody wants money. But I don't think people realize that they need to know what they're going to do with the money, because I'm like, dude, as soon as I get to a certain space, like 5% of my profit is going to, like, you know, it's going to, like,
I do the same thing with my company, Bogle Up Records. It says it. I have a video on there. It says it on there. 5%. I don't care if it's $5. It's going to a charity of your choice. That's so funny. What a weird coincidence. I'm doing quote signs right now.
For me, it's women's shelters.
Excellent.
You know, I want to do 5% towards women's shelters. That's excellent. Who I, really want to give back to, because it's...
You were there.
I was there, you know, and I could have been pulled down there even further. Like, but one thing that did keep me going, I was like, you're already on the bottom. So there's only one way to go but up. Right. Like, so, you're already, like, hit the bottom.
You can't get any further
from here. So even though, you know, like, I was going through that, it's still, I had to see it differently. And that's really, it really comes back down to our perception.
Yes.
You know, of how we see things. And for me personally, there's only two forces. You know, it's either love or fear. That's it. And
it.
You either co-create with love.
I got a lot of bumper stickers I'm going to have after our calling.
You know, like, that's it. You know, and that's what I tend to be mindful of. When my thoughts are going crazy, I'm like, okay, I release this fear and I choose right now to see love around me.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's really what the yin and yang is talking about. I feel like that's what people are talking about when they talk about God and devil. Like, I even see scriptures differently now. Like, there's a scripture. I'm gonna go scripture on you guys.
Go
okay, Genesis 1:26. Okay, if you look up the scripture, it says, God says, let us create man, right? Why is God speaking in plural?
Because man is everybody.
So God is saying, let us create in this scripture.
Oh, like us reproducing and everything, you mean?
So, yeah, you can see it like that, right? But for me, I was like, wait a minute. God was co-creating with someone else to produce man and woman.
Right, right.
It wasn't just God there. And like something else was there. There was an us, you know, like there's an us there.
Right.
And it continues and it says everything God did was good, but it doesn't say what the us did was good. It just says what God did was good, but it doesn't refer to this us ever again. So when I think about that and I think about the fact that love and fear, they can never coexist together.
Not at the same time.
Not at the same time. That's that yin and yang, right? You never see gray on the yin and yang.
It's day and night.
Black and white. Exactly.
Exactly.
They cannot coexist.
Sun and moon. Yes.
Here,
exactly. Yes. It's not supposed to.
Like, I can't help you. When you're in fear and you're living in fear, love is like, nah, I don't mess with that. No, you stay over there, you know? But when you're with love, fear is like, oh no, don't go over there, you know? So it's either one or the other. You can't serve two masters. So that's when I was like, I even started looking at the scriptures differently. I started looking at God as love, you know, as the force of love. Like
yes.
This entity is just love. It's an entity. It's a force. You know, like that's what it is. And we have access to this force.
Yes.
Like, let the force be with you.
That's
like,
right. It's very true. Well, it's kind of like I say, it's like you can't be half pregnant. Either you are or you aren't. And you have to either day or night. If you look at everything on the planet, everything's on off. In digital world, because I'm a dorky engineer, it's a one or a zero. One is on, zero's off. That's the digital world. You might see it on... If my wife didn't notice, and I'm such a dork. So when you look at an on-off button, a lot of times in electronics, it'll be a half a circle with a little line in the middle. Take a look at your on-off. That's a zero and a one. That's from digital world, but they didn't circle the whole thing because it's zeros and ones. They're hexadecimal numbers. That's what programming is. And again, my engineering is electronics engineering. There's an old saying, and the reason I'm saying this is because they always say that. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Nothing, everybody goes, oh, we've had such advances. Well, I was in the medical field. Yeah, now you could install some medical equipment that used to take 4 months and a week. But the microprocessor, the PROMs, the EPROMs, the gates, all these technical terms, all these chips, they're exactly the same. They've never changed. They've miniaturized so you have the little phone in your hand, right? But they do exactly the same thing that they did 25, 30, 40 years ago. I just go, LEDs are brand new. LEDs are not brand new. LEDs have been around, light emitting diodes. I used to circuit board them. I used to circuit board also to make little lights in. They've been around for 40, 50 years. We never used it to this. So the more the things that change, the more they stay the same. And you were talking about this for thousands of years. I'm not a historian, but I like reading a lot of things that thousands of years, nothing's changed. Man's inhumanity to man, which means people's inhumanity to other people, has it changed? They were lopping people's heads off. They were killing people and doing all sorts of nasty stuff to families and kids and taking over cities in the year 800. And everybody, it's the worst ever been. No, it's still going on. There's hundreds and hundreds of countries that are still in 2023 that don't even have clean water, don't have a toilet. Is that acceptable? No. Can you do anything about it? What if you can do it? If you can donate money, but be very careful. You donate money to places, usually it doesn't get there, unfortunately. But if you could give to something, that's what I'm talking about with donating your money or your time. You give it to women's shelters, you know it's going somewhere. You know you've been there. I'm not just saying you can't give it to other places, but really be aware of when you're giving. Your heart might be in the right place, but the money might not be going to the right place. So you really need to make a difference in stuff. We could go on for hours and hours, and I'm showing her my notes, and I haven't gotten to anything on here. So we're going to have you back again, because it's just been such an unbelievable. I did have a quote down that I saw that you wrote down for the interview. I believe when we are happy, we're able to spread this happiness to others, which inspires others. which in turn sends more love into the world. I'm going to read that again. I kind of read it bad. I believe when we are happy, we are able to spread this happiness to others, which inspires others, which in turn sends more love into the world. I say empowering others empowers ourselves. It's the exact same thing. When you give, whether it's money or time or whatever it is to people, because you don't know how many people you're touching. Most people aren't going to call back and send you, like, Tanya, I saw that thing on TikTok or Facebook or whatever I'm at. They're not going to contact you. And suddenly you change your entire life. You know, you're not going to see those things. And I'm very clear on that. The imaginational mind of God, the serendipities, accidents, coincidences, universal mind, spirits, and angels, all the stuff that I work in my philosophy. You do this because you're passing on positivity to others. We don't live long in this life. Even if you live to 100, you don't live long. And as far as I know, you can't take any of this junk that we buy with us. You don't leave. You start with dirt, you end in dirt. And you have to be very clear that what you're here for is to do exactly what she says. Happy, to spread happiness to others, which inspires others. Empowering others empowers ourselves. That's what you're here for, to be able to pass that on. And when she looked at those serendipities, accidents, and coincidences, from the breakfast to the relative, to all these things, to apps, and I mean, just like, she knew, it's like, wait a minute. If I continue doing that, and then when you get to that point, because what'll happen is she got to another point, she's going, oh, I feel kind of empty. God, I need some more inspiration to go to this level, whatever that is. Then suddenly, and it might not happen in a day, might not happen in a week, might happen in a month, might happen in a year. And suddenly I look, oh, that's why I wrote that down 3 years ago. That's why God had me experience this, because now if I didn't experience this, I wouldn't be doing this and all these different things. I mean, it's just amazing how one thing leads to another, to another, to another. So before we go, I want you to leave the audience with some, and you already left a bunch of stuff, but more of an aphorism, positivity, something they can leave right when we're about to end the interview. What can you leave with people of positivity that they could take with them when they're done listening?
Ooh.
Anything that comes to mind. You've already left a bunch of it already, but
I'm being driven to go back to the forgiveness of what you spoke to earlier. I don't know why, but I'm being driven there. But be more gentle with yourself. Be more kinder to yourself and where you are. And that will really help you along your journey. You know, we have enough people who have enough things to say, you know? We don't need to amplify that even more in our own minds, you know? So be more kinder, be more gentler with yourself. You know, if you notice you fall back into like a negative pattern, okay, as soon as you decide to change that thought, that's a miracle. And you can experience miracles every single day the moment you decide to stop thinking a certain way. So to help you with your thoughts, just simply say, oh, I recognize that this is a fear thought and I choose love. If you have to say that 50,000 times a day, then do it.
Do it.
Because every single moment is a miracle moment. That means that you experience 50,000 miracles that day. And that's something to be grateful for.
I got nothing to say. That's a wonderful way to end this. And I will always say at the end of my podcast shows, remember to my audience, remember, it is more important to express your thinking thoughts and not the thoughts you are thinking. That is what is called conscious communication. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to Conscious Communication. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and recommend on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcast. You can also get more great information at consciouscommunicationpodcast.com.